Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of the Rumcast. I am John Gullah. Here with me is Will Hookinga, and together we produce this podcast which talks all things rum-related with the people who love and shape it. And Will, before I go any further, this ought to be an interesting exercise for us today. I know we recently did something similar on a bonus episode, which was well-received, and so, you know, here we are expanding on this idea a bit, which is essentially that you've deviously plotted a blind flight for me to go through today, or at least some blind samples. And that's going to test, I understand, my palate and my mettle. Is that right?
Yeah, to an extent, although that's not the sole intention of this exercise, but we'll get to that in a second, I think. We'll share some more details.
That takes the pressure off.
Yeah. Don't sweat it over there.
Yeah, and when we first talked about this, Will, you called it, because you're going to know some of these samples, right? And
yes.
I'm not going to know them, or when we do it in the future, I'll know and you won't know, right?
Exactly.
So it's like a semi-blind flight is what I would call this, right? And then, of course, that on text led us both to think of...
Semi-blind kind of flight, right? Semi-charmed kind of life, exactly.
Yes,
you can't have lived through the 90s and not be that be the first thing that pops into your head. I wish we had the permission to get a little doot-doot-doot go in the background there, you know?
You might be sued for just that alone, careful. Talking about Third Eye Blind there, the late 90s band, and actually, I have to say, Will, that reference on text, it prompted me to think about them, like, for the first time in a very long time.
Naturally.
And that then led me to thinking, like, what the heck happened there, right?
Whatever happened to those guys?
Yeah, like, it's like, so how do you have three mega hits in, like, 2.5 years, and then, boom, you're gone forever. Like, nobody's heard of them since in 20-plus years.
I'm going to guess. So I haven't thought about them either, but it sounds like you did some research. I'm going to guess that they're, like, still or recently touring or something. Are they?
Sort of. Yes. So they still exist, I guess, in some semblance. Like, the lead singer is still a part of it, but that's part of the story, actually.
All right.
So if you'll indulge me, I got curious, and I will give you 2 minutes or less on
Wikipedia
this.
Wikipedia deep dive? Okay.
I thought it was super interesting. So Third Eye Blind, right? It's founded by this main guy in the mid-90s after he failed to make any progress in the industry as part of a rap duo.
I didn't
Seriously.
Know that. Interesting.
Yes. And he eventually, after that, he gets together with this other guy, a guitar player, and they hit it off for both songwriting and chemistry, and that's kind of where the band starts to take off.
Okay.
So they record their demo stuff, right? And eventually, Clive Davis, you know who Clive Davis is,
I'm
assume,
familiar
Will,
with Clive Davis, yeah.
Know, legend from Arista Records. Mm-hmm. He invites them to do a show in front of a bunch of record executives in New York City.
Okay.
This is the big moment.
Yeah, this is the big moment.
So they do their thing. As part of the show, they would have this pinata with candy that would crack open into the mosh pit area of their show. Right?
Okay.
This was like a thing for them. I don't know, because I wasn't like a huge fan. So
Was it really candy, or was it like candy for adults, if you know what I mean?
It could have been. Well, I will tell you this. This time at this show, for some reason, they chose not to put candy or adult candy in. They put in a bunch of live crickets.
What?
That spilled into the crowd in this event and caused some chaos.
Naturally, when I was a kid, I had a pet lizard and I had to feed crickets. So, you know, you go to the pet store and they give you one of those. It's like the bag that you get the goldfish in, right? But it's full of crickets.
It's full
and
of crickets, yes.
They smell,
or the egg crate.
They smell really bad. I don't know if you've been around those crickets that you get to feed animals with, but
I have.
The scent is not pleasant. And I remember one time I got home with the bag and I like left it out on my desk in my room intending to come feed my lizard later.
Okay.
I came later to feed my lizard only to find that the bag was completely, you know, all the air was let out of it and there were no crickets inside of it.
Oh.
And one of the like AC vents was right underneath my desk.
Oh,
and so I think
gosh.
A bunch of them went down there. And so for like the next few days, you just kept finding crickets in like all different parts of the house because, you know, they got into the air
ducts.
Did
they wake you up like at night?
They're not the kind that chirp. I don't think they chirp.
Okay.
So they're chirpless crickets.
Well, you got lucky. You got lucky you had chirpless crickets.
Okay, so pinata full of crickets.
It unleashes
crickets on the audience. And this leads to them getting their big break?
Well, indirectly, yes. So okay. Apparently nothing came directly from the event, but because of this over time, like people heard about this event.
It's like it Ozzy Osbourne like notoriety. Biting the bat on the stage. It's like that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So what then happens from this is it leads them to a bidding war with a bunch of record labels. And seriously, I shit you not, the contract was later reported as the largest publishing deal ever for an unsigned artist.
For Third Eye Blind. Had the execs even heard Semi-Charmed Life yet?
I think it was a thing at that point, yes. Because this is like, they put it out on their debut album like a year later and they blow up.
All right.
So I think it was already a thing. And yeah, so anyways, I just found that to be fascinating because then the last part of the story is they make these two albums within 2 years. Yeah. They have three huge mega hits and maybe a few more that people know. And then it falls apart.
Yeah.
Because the original guy, the lead singer, and the guitar player, who were the duo that were driving this thing, well, the guitar player doesn't like the direction
creative differences are going.
Creative differences, right? And guess what they do? They kick him out.
The singer?
And when he... Yeah, no. They kick out the guitar player.
Oh, okay.
Who was like one of the founding people, right? They kick him out. They tell him, you know, get out of here. You're done. And he sues them because he's like, wait, you can't do that. I'm part of a founding member of this, right? Well, it turns out that the lead singer dude, he actually put in an LLC for 100% of Third Eye Blind, the band, and didn't tell anybody else.
Oh, wow.
So it is his and
power
his
moves from the start.
Crazy, right?
This, Cloak
this
and dagger.
This just got better and better. So needless to say, ever since, we've never heard of them after the guy left. So,
wow.
Turns out it was a roller coaster.
Guitar player, pretty important then.
Yeah, it seemed like, I don't know, they had kind of a special thing going. So I guess, you know, hey, be careful out there if you've got chemistry with a group or you know, working with people and, you know, don't do anything shady.
They could have been the next Elton John and Bernie Taupin, right?
You
That's
too.
That's his name, right?
Bernie
Isn't that
Taupin.
His name?
No,
his,
you're
his co-writer?
About, no, it's Tim Rice, right?
No.
Is it Tim Rice?
Tim Rice is like a Broadway guy, right?
Wait, isn't Elton John and Tim Rice like the Lion King, maybe?
No, it's Bernie Taupin. That might be the Lion King. But yeah, the songwriting partnership is Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we've taken our musical history detour all because of possibly titling these segments semi-blind kind of
kind
tastings.
Of
yeah. So to give a little backstory, the idea for this, as you alluded to earlier, John, I think last month, or maybe the month before, we did a bonus episode in which a listener had given us each a mystery sample. And I ended up going through the mystery sample alone, and he revealed it to me, so I knew what it was. But I knew you had not tried it yet, and you still didn't know what it was. So we recorded a little segment where we both shared our thoughts on it, you not knowing what it is, and me knowing what it is. And listeners really liked it, and... You know, the more we thought about it, it was kind of like we'd always talked about how there's something to be said for tasting things blind and having no preconceived notions about what the rum is, where it came from, how much it costs. But then there's also this thing where so many times you try something for the first time and your first impression of it actually isn't the best read. Like you end up coming back to it a few days later or a week later and your impression of it completely shifts, right? That's why a lot of reviewers that I talk to, I think every reviewer that we've talked to tastes stuff multiple times before writing their review in most cases. And so it was kind of like, how can we get the magic of a blind tasting, but without just having that not 100% reliable first impression? And so the idea was the semi-blind kind of tasting where one of us knows what the rum is and has tried it before and has kind of fully formed thoughts and impressions of it. The other one is going in completely blind, doesn't know anything about it, doesn't know where it came from. The only information they have about it is what the color of the rum looks like, basically.
Yep.
So that is the convention of this segment. And as you said, you won't always be the blind taster. We'll switch off that duty. But for these initial three, you will be the blind taster. And we're going to release two of these as an episode for everyone and then release the third rum as a bonus episode for Patreon subscribers. If you want to get in on that, you can go to patreon.com/therumcast. And I also think we are, well, we're recording video for this. So we're doing, you know, very bare bones, just Zoom video. If people really like this, you know, we might get a little bit better setup, but we are going to put these on the video versions of these on YouTube as well. So if you want to check that out, you can go to the Rumcast YouTube channel and find that there. But I think that's enough introduction, John. So should we take a quick break and then do our first semi-blind rum?
Yeah, the only thing I'll say before we do the break is a caveat that, you know, you talked about like how you have to try them multiple times and sometimes your impression can change. I will say this from the outset today. I actually had salt and vinegar chips with lunch today. Oh, and I'm like,
that was probably a bad choice.
Yeah, given what we're doing here. And I just thought about it right now. So I'm actually curious, though, to know, has anybody done as scientific as you could with something like this, which is probably not very you know, what have you eaten before you tasted this? I wonder if anybody's really dived in to do something like that. Probably not blind with the way we're doing some of this, but, you know, just to see, to document, is there things that you know for sure? Like if you eat garlic, is it going to change things and your perception of it or other kinds of foods? So I'd be curious to know if anybody out there has done that, if anybody's really put the time into experimenting in this way with a same rum over different days with different things you've eaten. I'm genuinely, honestly curious to see if there's anything that came of it.
I do know there are some people who either kind of tasting things for a living is part of, you know, what they do professionally, or people doing tasting competitions. There are some people who will not even brush their teeth the day of before they're going to be tasting. So they don't eat anything, they don't drink anything, don't brush their teeth. I know. I think this came up with Maggie Campbell at some point on a past episode, and I believe, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but in my memory, she said something to the effect of, the best thing you can do is just eat what you would normally eat that morning. You know, if you're going to go in and do some tasting, don't make some big drastic change.
Yeah.
Maybe avoid strong things like, I don't know, like a bagel with lox or something like that. Maybe not the best idea, but don't deviate dramatically from what you would normally do so that your palate is at kind of like a standard baseline for how you usually taste things. So how long ago did you have the salt and vinegar chips?
An hour and a half.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a pretty good amount of time for that to fade away. So hopefully not too influential.
I mean, I don't taste salt and vinegar. Yeah. I'm not tasting any salt and vinegar right now, but like, you know, I just wonder how long that would, if anything, you know, adjust how I'm going to taste this.
We're breaking ground right now. This is a new layer of transparency that most reviewers I've never seen do, where I've never seen it noted what they consumed that day. So I'll following your example, I had a couple of slices of pizza earlier, about an hour and a half before this. So
what's the toppings?
What's the pepperoni? Toppings? Just pepperoni pizza. That's it. Nothing. No, you know, anchovies, olives.
But pepperoni is a pretty strong flavor.
Yeah, pepperoni is it's a bold topping. So but just, you know, full transparency here on the Rumcast, we will reveal our diets before getting into the semi-blind kind of reviews. So with all that said, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Hey Rumcasters, if you've listened to the show for a while now, there's one rum website you've probably heard us reference more than any other, rumwonk.com, Matt Piedrick's website full of deep dives into the many corners of the rum world. Well, recently, Matt and co-author Carrie Smith went beyond the website and published their most definitive deep dive to date, Modern Caribbean Rum, a hardcover 850-page book that takes you inside 75 distilleries in 20 Caribbean rum-making regions and much more. And now, through March 30th, you can get 10% off by going to wonkpress.com, that's W-O-N-K press.com, and using promo code RUMCAST. Plus, Matt and Carrie will sign your copy at no additional cost. So go to wonkpress.com and use promo code RUMCAST when you purchase a copy of Modern Caribbean Rum by March 30th. If you're craving a deeper understanding of the world of Caribbean rum, you'd have a tough time finding a better place to start. Modern Caribbean Rum looks at the region's rum from every angle, including its history, classifications, the business of rum, every step of production from the cane fields to the aging warehouses, and much more. Along the way, the book is full of 900 photographs and images that really bring the subject to life. So again, you can get 10% off your copy by using promo code RUMCAST at wonkpress.com through March 30th, and it will be signed at no additional cost. Go to wonkpress.com now to grab the deal. Now back to the show. All right, we are back for our first semi-blind kind of rum review. I was about to literally say what the rum is in this review, you know, before I remember that you, John, do not know what it is. However, we will...
It would have been a very short episode.
We will reveal for the listeners what it is up front, because I think it's much better if they... Kind of like when we did the blind Foursquare tasting episode, we communicated what it is. I think it's good for them to have an idea so that when they're hearing your guesses, they have an idea of how close or far away you are. It's kind of entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll pause for a second and we'll get a little voiceover reveal of what rum number one is. So rum number one is... Shikara 12-Year, the new Thailand rum from La Maison and Velier. Okay, so now everyone knows, except for John. Mm. John, you have... I passed along to you rums labeled 1 through 3. We are going to do them in that precise order. So, rum number 1. By the way, you know, any confusion with the labeling system or anything?
I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I'll show for those of you can see. It's the first time I can remember seeing a question mark before any of the other characters. So you have question mark one. So
well, it's
like,
mystery rum number one. So the question mark represents mystery rum. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going for.
It definitely looked different, but it's very clear. So yeah, we're good with starting with number one. And it's a pretty standard amber color, I would say.
Yeah,
I can not super dark.
Hold my glass up for
Yours actually looks darker than mine, just slightly there. Could just be the camera.
Yeah, it could be the lighting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, kind of a reddish coppery hue to it.
Mm-hmm.
Deep
it
amber,
gives
perhaps.
Me vibes. Yeah. It gives me vibes of between depending on obviously where it's aged, because this is a huge, big thing, but, 4 and 9 years.
Okay. That's a pretty big range.
Well, for a cut me some slack here.
You haven't even tasted it yet. So very blind. So how we're going to do this, we're going to do this in kind of three parts. We're each going to taste. So John will have time to nose. We can start with the nose, give some initial impressions. Then we'll taste it, give some likes and dislikes. And then we'll move into the second phase, which is John kind of like trying to guess some of the specs on it, proof, age, country of origin, price, and a final guess. And then the third segment, we'll give kind of our review of it in terms of, is this something that we would buy? What type of drinker would we recommend this to or not recommend this to? And we'll go from there. So having said that, let's just dive in and kind of see what we think of the nose.
So as you were talking, I started nosing it already. So I'll go first, which is, I'm getting very familiar nose on this.
Yeah.
And
you're smiling, like almost like you think you know what it is already.
I do, just from the nose, but which makes it even worse, because if I'm wrong, then it's like I double down and I'm even wronger.
Well, you can elect to pass on this, but I do want to give you the option. I think it would be interesting to hear just what you think that is. And it doesn't have to be your actual guess, but just if you're talking us through your stream of consciousness, like...
Yeah, so this is bringing me right to Barbados and most likely Foursquare.
Okay. See, I'm going to lend my thoughts after you've gotten some initial ones out, because I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm biting my tongue a little bit here, but I can
I'm just getting like it's how smells are sometimes really strongly associated.
Yeah.
They say that, it's your most memorable smell or memorable sense.
Right.
And I'm going to really be sad if I'm wrong, to be honest, because it's like hitting me in such a way that I'm like, wow, I feel like really confident.
This is making you feel, it's triggering memories for you.
Yeah. So right now it's 100% I'm going with Barbados. I'm not 100% on board with Foursquare yet. I want to try and taste it and see, experience it a little bit more, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I definitely get a lot of notes that would be associated, I think, with the types of rums you're describing. I get kind of like deeply roasted nuts. I get something that reminds me of sherry cask influence on this rum.
I was going to mention that next because that's now what's coming into it. It's I'm getting some of the bourbon cask notes you would get usually, but it does have the sherry cask influence as well.
Mm-hmm. And I also get kind of a tea, like a black or maybe a Thai, a chai, not Thai, chai tea. Thai, I was going to say Tai Chi. A chai tea. I know chai tea and black tea are pretty different, but I get some kind of like those interesting...
Yeah,
spice notes, but also that you know, just aroma of tea in there as well. Those are kind of the big. I think one of the things we want to do with this is not get too esoteric with the tasting notes. Just throw out a few of like the big things that we get from it, and you know, go on from there. But anything else interesting that's jumping out at you on this nose?
No, the only thing is, I'll say with you saying that, I do get a little bit of that tea note also, and that is leading me to also remember a rum category, if you will, or place of origin that I think had a similar feel to the Barbados, which is Thailand. You and I have both tried a Thailand rum in the past that had a similar characteristic aged rum to what we would say would be like an English which heritage or Barbados rum. So that's the only thoughts. All right, I'm going in.
All right, yeah, let's taste this.
So the first thing that sticks out to me on this after the taste is mouthfeel is a little bit thinner than I was anticipating.
Based on the nose?
Right. Not that it's bad, and I don't mean to say it's thin, like, oh, I'm not liking this because it's thin, but it's thinner than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Which kind of, I don't know why this is being associated, but I feel like I'm leaning more towards column than pot, or it's a blend.
Okay.
Yeah.
How congruent would you say the palate has been, just first impressions with the nose?
Pretty close.
Yeah.
I think the nose leads to the palate in a familiar way. Yes.
I will say the biggest differences for me between the nose and the palate, and I think they are pretty congruent, but on the palate, more fruitiness, more fruit character comes through than on the nose for me, which the nose was very much hallmarks of like well-aged rum, and the kind of the tea stuff, the nuts, the sherry, and on the palate, I get a little bit of like it's fruitiness, but also a little bit more complex than that. It's almost kind of like a lemongrass sort of note to it that I get on there.
It's like citrus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, but not strong. Yeah, but I would get a slight citrus vibe as well. But it's not a dominant. I also get a bit of a like a milk chocolate thing.
Yeah, I see that for sure.
Which is nice. There's a good enough amount of flavor in here that this is bringing a pleasurable experience. I'm enjoying this so far.
I think in terms of flavors, it's pretty, like if I'm putting it on the spectrum between adventurous and comforting. Actually, one of my favorite cocktail bars here in Nashville, The Fox, by each of their cocktails, they have like a sliding scale. On one end of it is adventurous and on one end of it is comforting. So I think that's just where I pulled that from in my head. But I would put this like right in the middle, maybe edging actually a little bit more towards comforting. Like if it's a scale where comforting is at 1 and adventurous is at 10, it would be at like a 4, 4.5 sort of. There is some interesting complexity. It's not just like straight one note, you know, generic aged rum. There's some richness, some complexity, but there is also just very comforting, you know.
I agree with that. I would like to disagree with you, but in this case, I agree. It's on just slightly on the side of comforting in terms of recognizable, familiar, pleasurable, but still has something there that is worth exploring.
Yeah, there's something familiar about it for sure. That was my first reaction when I tried it as well.
Yeah. In terms of ABV, my palate is not catching this one as very high. You know, 48.
Okay.
Something around there. It could be, I would say the range would be 46 to 50. I would be surprised if it's over 50 because it's drinking really well for it.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I'm going with it. In terms of age, it certainly has enough age on it. But again, age is so hard because...
It is hard.
You know, it's not fair in a way. Like if you tell me it's continentally aged versus tropically aged, at least I can give you a better kind of range of where I think it would be within those. If it's tropically aged, you know, this could be on the 5 to 7 to 8 range. If it's continentally aged, obviously more than that, but I am getting a lot of barrel here. And like you said, wouldn't be surprised if this is also some sherry cask finishing on it as well.
I definitely agree with you. I think age is maybe the hardest thing to guess blind. I mean, origin is tough too, but age can be so deceptive when you have no frame of reference, right? Like you were saying. So, okay, so you're saying, you know, around somewhere like 46 to 48% ABV, somewhere in there. Age could be, what did you say, like 5 to 8, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I mean, that's assuming tropically aged for the majority of it, but that would be where I would go.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more slightly, like I said, you know, 5 to 9. Yeah.
So actually, I in my outline here, I had country of origin as the next guess, but I'll give you the option. Do you want to venture a country of origin guess, or do you want to venture a price guess next?
So I've got a dominant one, which is still Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm wrong, it's okay, because I do feel confident that it's mimicking or hearkening back to Barbados. Mm-hmm. Like enough people would, you know, feel the same. If not, I'm going to go with Thailand as a secondary choice, but those are my two.
And how about price? What do you think this is being sold for?
So I do feel like it's a sipping rum.
Okay.
And I think with that already, you're looking at a price of above $40 to $50 easy. If you look at something like, you know, Mount Gay XO, for instance, right? That's now at like $60 or $70.
Yeah, mid-60s.
I would probably start this there.
Okay.
And then go up to, I don't think I would want to pay more than $100 for this.
Okay.
There's some other things that do kind of factor into that once you know the facts of the rum, but that's where I'm at right now, is I'm going to go with like 75, 80,
all right,
in and around there.
So with all that said, we've got your proof, age, country of origin, price, predictions.
Yeah.
Do you want to package this all into any kind of final guess? Do you want to stick your foot out a little farther and maybe name a specific distillery, a specific brand? You don't have to. I'm just saying, like, if you had to, your final guess description of this rum, what would that be?
So as I've tasted it and had some minutes with it, I'm kind of slightly less confident in feeling like it might be Foursquare, but I still feel like Barbados is part of this.
Okay.
So that leads me to maybe this is Mount Gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm going to, you know, plant the flag, is maybe a Mount Gay Master Blender selection. I do know they came out with a sherry cask, so that's a possibility. Yeah, that's kind of where my head is going. I haven't tried that rum, by the way. So, or okay, maybe I have and I don't know it yet. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Are you ready for the reveal? Is there anything else you'd like to ask? Any other questions you have before the big reveal?
You know what? I didn't even think I could ask you questions. So now for the next one, I'm going to do that. But I'm going to stick where I'm at here for now.
Well, I mean, I said you could ask questions. I didn't say I would answer them. So, you know.
Okay.
All right. I'm trying to think of the most dramatic way to do this. I have the bottle here with me, so I'm just going to slowly
pull the bottle
raise
out.
It. This is Shikara rum, the new release. This is being imported or distributed, I believe, by, or not distributed, but there's a relationship with La Maison and Velier. This is one of the newest products they've announced, and it is a Thailand rum.
Oh, I was so close. Damn it. Shit.
When you brought up Thailand, I was really impressed and also kicking myself a little bit, because I was trying to say chai tea and I accidentally said Thai tea, and I was like, shit, I hope I didn't reveal anything there. But so to give the full specs on this, this is a 12-year-old, 100% tropically aged rum distilled in Thailand. The distillery is not disclosed, but I am fairly confident it is the same distillery as the mini Thailand rums that we've tasted over the past couple of years from independent bottlers, because you can just taste the similarities.
Yep.
It is 45.7% ABV.
Super close, man. Damn. What?
Wait, you look like you're upset with yourself. I would be pumped. I feel like you nailed this. I feel like this is like one of the most impressive blind tasting exercises I've seen in terms of someone getting so close to it. You know, it can be... It's impressive if someone guesses a rum that they are super familiar with, but to me, it's even more impressive if, like, you've never had this rum. This is a new rum that has come out. It was provided to us by La Maison and Velier, actually, so a shout out to them. And so the fact that you got so close, having never had this, having had limited Thailand rum exposure, and it still came to mind for you.
Or know anything about it. I think I saw it go by on Armander's feed.
Yeah. Where,
but I didn't even get to see like the stats on the bottle and all that stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So I maybe the only thing familiar about this would be the shape of the bottle, which is the very familiar Velier bottle shape, but clear glass instead of dark glass. Very impressive looking bottle. It looks very nice. Eye-catching on the shelf. It's got the green and the gold and kind of the Thailand imagery on there. So
what's the price on this?
Okay, so a few other things. I should have asked cane juice or molasses. That should have been an obvious thing to ask, but it is a molasses rum as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything else. Oh, column still, which you nailed.
Bam!
Yeah.
Wow, okay, you know what? I'll be proud then. Okay.
You should.
I felt like... It's so hard. It really is. And, you know, you second guess yourself a lot. But I think I had said 46 to 50, so I was close.
Yeah.
But, in terms of ABV, yeah.
So the price on this, it is priced online at 49 euros, which I believe right now is about $53-$54 in the U.S. So I think this is similar to the wheelhouse you were guessing, a little coming in a little bit under that. So what are just your first impressions now that you know what this is? How is, and the price and everything, how is that changing? Does that change anything about the way you feel about this rum?
Or I'm actually psyched about it because I had seen it across on Instagram on Rum Revival. And like I said, that was the only thing that kind of, I saw it as I was flipping through at work or something and didn't get a chance to think about it. But I was thinking, man, I want to try that so bad. You know, I felt the FOMO of it already. And so it's cool to now actually know that I've tried it. And here's what I would say. You immediately were met with something that was pleasurable right at the start. This is kind of in my wheelhouse for what I like in rum.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was already like, wow, this is a really nice nose for me. I didn't want to be effusive in a blind tasting initially.
Cover your ass a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I really did enjoy it, though. So, you know, now I feel more justified in enjoying it because I know it's a well-made product and that helps. But so what I would say is, number one, it's surprising for the cost because I do think a 12-year aged rum that is well done for that price is good. So it's something that I would want to actually pick up a bottle of. I don't think I have. Actually, maybe I do from Raising Glasses, some Thailand rum, and that's probably it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's very reminiscent, like I said, of some of those English style is what I would say. Again, poor terminology that we have to talk about this, but Barbados, those type of things where it's got a little bit of that to it. It is a little thinner than some of those. But you said it's column still only, which mm-hmm. That makes sense. So it's a really well done column still. My fear would be that people discount it in the rum hobby because it's all column. So don't do that, people. Don't stand on that soapbox. Yes, you might still like pot and column or pot better, and that's fine. But you really should experience this one.
Yeah, and I feel I have freedom now to share my thoughts on it. I was so afraid I was going to spoil it in some way. But so I was very stoked to receive this because I don't know if this has come up much on the show, but like kind of the genre of rum I've been wishing to see more of, it are those mid-priced rums that aren't, they don't necessarily have to be cask strength, single cask or anything. Something that is widely available, mid-priced, very flavorable, but very flavorful, but also very approachable. I said flavorable. I combined approachable and flavorful.
It's your word from now on.
I think those rums are really hard to produce at scale. And so I was really interested to see this one when I saw, okay, low $50 price point, 12 years, interesting origin, not cask strength, but what are we always begging for? Just don't make it 80 proof. Bump it up. And they bumped it up to a little over 90 proof. And when I tasted it then, I was honestly like extremely impressed with this on my first tasting. I did not expect to like it this much because, as you said, we've had some Thailand rum. And I've been impressed by Thailand rums in the past. And I've thought... But most of the time it's kind of like, oh, this is solid and interesting and like it is kind of its own thing. So I like it. But I hadn't really had one that totally blew me away. I liked the Raising Glasses, Thailand rums. Those are really solid. But this one, honestly, I think it's the best one I've had from Thailand. And it's not, I've had others that are cask strength. This is just 90 proof. And I really love this rum, and I will buy a bottle if it ends up being in my market, because this would honestly be the type of rum that I would just always want to have on hand, because it's so comforting, easy drinking, but it has a lot of flavor packed into it. And it's just, we need more rums like this. And actually, you brought up Mount Gay XO in the during the blind portion. And I was tasting a friend on this, and we were talking about it, and I was like, to me, this like sits next to something like Mount Gay XO as being just as good,
right?
But it's even cheaper, you know, probably by about up to $15 in some cases, and that makes a big difference, I think. So I'm very, very impressed with this rum. And so I absolutely would buy a bottle. I would, the type of drinker I would recommend this to, I don't think there is a type of rum drinker I wouldn't recommend this to, unless you're someone who's just like, I don't like molasses rums, or if you're someone who really, really doesn't care about aged rums, you like only really get excited for stuff that's a little bit more funky or like offbeat, you know, a little out there. I wouldn't really describe this as like an out there. This is much more of like a comforting rum, but it is complex. It does have some unique elements. And so I like 9 out of 10 rum drinkers, I would recommend this rum to. I'm really, really digging it. The headline is very impressive La Maison & Velier release, I think. I actually, you know, they do the TCRL rums as well. And I would put this up there with my favorite TCRL, you know, rum line releases over the years. Most of those are not always, I think most of the time they're higher ABV than this, but to me, this is just as good and if not better than a lot of those. So
yeah,
it's a home run to me.
It is. I think it's certainly something that I would look forward to being present on the shelf too for a while. Again, with the idea that it's going to be around and can be gotten for, you know, years to come.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, I think our first semi-blind kind of review is in the books. So we'll take a quick break and then come back to do semi-blind kind of review number two.
All right. We're back with mystery sample number two here, Will. And markedly different, I will say, just right off of the cuff here, is that it's super light in color compared to the last sample that we did. So this is like a straw, hay, even maybe lighter than that.
Yeah.
Like
pale gold.
Standard non-dehydrated urine color, maybe.
very, very evocative comparison there.
I'm sure that'll get used in the marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, write that down, mystery rum supplier, if you're listening right now. We should pause real quick so that I can share with everyone that this semi-blind kind of review number two is
Transcontinental Rum Line High Seas, a blend of aged rum from Panama, unaged rum from Jamaica, and unaged Grand Arome rum from Martinique.
Okay, so now everyone but John knows what this is. I know what this is. John does not know what it is. I've tasted this. John has never tasted this. So we've got first impressions on the color. So what can you infer from the color itself, John?
Well, it's either very lightly aged or super only continental aged type of thing. Because I've seen some this color that have been surprising. I can think of the Grander 12.
Yeah,
is this color? There's a few other ones that have been continentally aged that are in the teens. Or even higher in some cases, an 18 to 20 that still has a close color to this. So it's even just the color is not going to give me a full indicator. However, I will say most of the time you're looking at, you know, 3 years and under. Yeah, it's still giving me really lightly aged nose as well, which means the cane distillate is coming through.
Ooh, I like it's how not, you said cane distillate. You're not even showing your hand on whether you think this is molasses or cane juice. You're just you're leaving yourself options to go in here.
Yeah, I'm not committing yet. I mean, I'm one nosing into this. Give me a second here to start to formulate something.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But yes, it's definitely not driven by the cask. Interesting. I'm getting something in the realm of agave spirits.
Interesting. That is interesting. What, when you say agave spirits, what do you mean by that? Do you mean the smell of it reminds you of a tequila or something like that? Okay.
Like a reposado tequila specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not getting like smoky mezcal or anything.
Right.
But that's an interesting one. I mean, it really does seem like it's a cane juice rum here with the nose that I'm getting. But I want to reserve until I get into it on the palate to make sure that I feel that way.
Any other like big notes jumping out at you?
A little bit of the shoe polish is always what I say, but like that vibe or note. Mm-hmm. But it's not super dominant, like plasticky, whatever you might call that. But it's hiding. That's in front of some fruits. There's some fruits there that are hiding.
Yeah. I get kind of like a sweet candied funk kind of. I get some pineapple, some mango, some caramel, some vanilla.
Pineapple, I agree with, and then maybe like honeydew.
Yeah, I could see that. So yeah, like melon vibe.
Right.
Buttery a little on the nose as well to me.
Yeah, I could see that. Yep. All right, I'm gonna check this one out. Well, this is either a Jamaican rum, or it's one that is reproducing a very similar type of thing.
How much are you trying to read my face, by the way?
Almost none.
Are you playing a game within the game here?
You know what? If I was smart, I would be, and I'm not. I'm in my head right now.
I'm going to have to start wearing, or whoever is the non-blind taster, you're going to do like a poker game, like dark sunglasses, you know, hat on, just complete stone face, like not reacting at all. That would be really boring.
Bandana all the way up to the nose. Yeah.
But go bust out a COVID mask, put that on there.
I mean, this one yet again feels familiar in a way. Similar to what I said about the last one, and it does give me the Jamaican vibe right off the bat. So, like I said, I'm not committing to it being a Jamaica, but it's certainly going after that category, if you will, for me so far.
Yeah. How similar would you say the palate is to the nose? Big difference there? Are things coming out stronger on the palate than you found on the nose?
No, I feel like this one so far has been fairly straightforward for me. I think what's on the nose is what I'm finding in the palate so far. I will say the palate is a little bit weaker than I anticipated.
Mm.
I feel like this one, the ABV is closer to 40 to 43.
Okay.
Or maybe 45 tops. And that's because I'm getting less overall flavor from it. What is there is good, but it's not necessarily knocking me over. Now, I've had a fair amount of rums like this, so I'm fairly experienced, and I don't want to, that sounded
you
terrible,
think you've
but,
had a fair amount of rums like
right.
this.
Well, what I mean is, what I'm trying to say is I have no idea what this is, but what I feel like it is and where it belongs with other things that I've had in this type of zone, if you will, area, subgenre, I don't know what to call it, that I am experienced enough with it to kind of not be like, whoa, what is this? And it's the first time I've ever tried something like it, if that makes sense. All right, let me get a little bit more on the palate here.
Sure. While you're doing that, I'll share some of my notes on it. I think the big things for me are the fruit that John mentioned. So again, lining up with the nose a little bit for me, I get kind of pineapple, mango things, and then maybe some melon, like John was saying. I also get something on the palate that sticks out to me that was less apparent on the nose is kind of a bubblegum flavor. And then I do get a little bit of aged backbone, you know, kind of some caramel oak in there as well. Not huge dominant or anything, but just kind of as a component of the rum kind of there in the background. So that's the palate for me.
It also reminds me of the Homesky Fiji that we picked with them.
It's got the pool water thing a little bit, doesn't it?
Right. So that could be something similar also. Yeah, so I'm getting a little bit of bitterness, not in an overwhelming or bad way, but it's not a sweeter rum for sure, even though there's a little bit there. But like when we talk about the fruits, it brings to mind more of like the rind of some of those fruits and how that there's like that bitterness to the rind. If you've ever like bit into one or tasted some of it, it's too close to the rind. That's kind of where I'm going with it.
That's interesting. I think for me, it's more toward juicy than kind of the rind component.
I'm not getting the bubble gum.
And I get some nice sweetness and things from it. So that might be the one area we kind of are having a different experience.
Yeah, I can't find the bubble gum on it that you're looking for or that you have. I do get some sweetness, especially towards the finish. So there is a sweetness that starts to work itself out, and it kind of helps. It's making me salivate, which usually is a good sign, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing we learned from Maggie Campbell. If you're salivating, it's usually because it's a good rum and you're enjoying it.
So first impressions are on the board. Proof? What are you thinking? Are you still sticking with what you said initially?
43.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what about age? Let's put a number on this.
I'm going to go with 2 year. Oh God, I really want to go less than that. Yeah, let's do 1 year.
Okay. Wow, 1 year.
It would be weird, but right? Could you imagine it? You know, but so I'm going to do 1 year as a general guess.
All right. I like you going for it instead of waffling, not sitting on the fence there. Country of origin and price. What do you think in those terms?
I'm less convinced as I'm going that it is Jamaica and more convinced it's somewhere else like a Fiji or, gosh, what else could this be? Australia is not out of the realm of possibility because there is a little bit of that kind of, it's not strong white pepper note, but there's a certain Australian note and I'm not getting it like, oh, that's Australia. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it's like South Pacific in nature.
Well, there's also a ton of new Australian rums, you know, there's so many new producers out there that who knows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where my experience is taking me is South Pacific, Fiji, something along those lines right now.
Okay. And price?
So I think this one is going to probably be marketed to work in cocktails. Again, my brain is going similar to the Fiji. And so if you're doing that, it's like $30,
$35. And last segment, the say it with your chest final guess. What do you want to put it on wax? What do you think it is?
I'm conflicted here because I do want it. Part of me wants to say Fiji, but I feel like it wouldn't be Fiji for some reason. I don't know. Like the secondary part of the game now tells me it wouldn't be Fiji. So I'm second guessing where else could I go? I mean, you mentioned bubblegum, and also I'll say whenever somebody mentions bubblegum, I think Savannah.
Makes sense. The Savannah Her, the classic.
Right. But I don't know that I'm really getting that out of this either. So it would be hard for me to commit there. Yeah, I guess for lack of a better option right now, I'm going to go with Fiji.
All right.
South Pacific Distillers.
So, dramatic reveal time. Let me pull this bottle around. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We'll need to edit in some good dramatic music here, I think, you know? All right, here it is.
Okay, what is this?
Transcontinental Rum Line, High Seas.
Oh, I've seen this one too, but never. Yeah, I have no idea what's in this.
You see, you remember I was describing this label to you a while ago and how when you look through the porthole, you could see the map back there. Do you see that?
I don't. I mean, I see that there's a porthole, but I can't really see what's in the map.
I do. That's pretty cool, right?
It is really cool, actually. But it's all Caribbean. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's all stuff from the Caribbean.
So what this is a blend of rums. It is tropically aged rum from Panama, unaged Jamaican rum, and unaged Grand Arome from Martinique. So this is all molasses. Okay. Even the Martinique component is molasses because it's Grand Arome. Two unaged rums and one aged rum. So I kind of threw you a little bit of a curveball here.
Yeah,
I think
that was
the natural inclination is to think one origin. This is three origins: Panama, Jamaica, Martinique, all molasses rum, some aged, some unaged. So I don't know
the aged component.
It doesn't say the text sheet doesn't say how long it was aged, but just says it was tropically aged. So I'm going to guess it's like a 5 to 8 year. If I had to guess how much it is, and it's 45%. So you were very close on that, that area as well. And I believe this retails between 30 to 40. I've seen varying price points, so I don't know exactly, but I think it would probably fall somewhere in the mid 30s or low 30s. So you kind of exactly nailed the price point too. And it is a rum. They literally describe it as described for cocktail use. So it says the first TCRL project designed for mixing and cocktail use. So yeah, you kind of nailed exactly what this rum is supposed to be for. Just, you know, a little off on the origins there, but you know, I mean, it's a tough one.
Yes, it's messed up that I didn't even consider a multi-origin because that would have made sense, because my first initial impression was bam, Jamaica, right?
Yeah.
For that component that's very clearly present. But when you start to mix in those other things, it throws your whole thought process off, because I'm like, well, yes, but no. And yeah, then your brain just goes to where else would do something like that. And then my brain literally, I think, was like flipping through files in there going, what's the closest thing to this? Maybe it's the Fiji.
Yeah.
And didn't consider a multi-origin. So yeah. All right. Well, I'm pleased with that too, because it's really friggin' hard.
You haven't embarrassed yourself through two semi-blind kind of reviews so far. So you're acquitting yourself well here today. I think last, just to kind of tie a bow on this, would I buy a bottle? Who would I recommend this to? I would buy a bottle of this. I actually think the nice thing about this rum, I think the inevitable comparisons, since this is a kind of designed as a high-end mixing rum, I guess you would say, mm-hmm, the comparisons are going to be Probitas. And mm-hmm, I think the other one is maybe Smith & Cross. And I think the nice thing to me about this is it's a very flavorful mixing rum without being, like, I think there's a wide range of people you could serve this to in a yep, wide range of drinks, and they would enjoy it. I think it's very versatile. To me, it's not as funky as Probitas and not as funky as Smith & Cross either. I think right, both of those are funkier. I think this one is a little bit mellower than those, and obviously major ABV difference between this and Smith & Cross, which I believe Smith & Cross is 57%. This right, is 45. Probitas is 47. So to me, this is kind of like a cousin of Probitas that probably has a wider range of applications, just because it's, and I think Probitas is fairly approachable, but yeah, I like, there are some people out there that Probitas is too funky for. I know because I've met them, but typically not rum enthusiasts. So I think this is something that bartenders could get a lot of mileage out of. As we said on the podcast before, neither of us are especially adventurous cocktailers, but I have been, something I've been really enjoying this on as the weather begins to warm up is just mm-hmm, this over a big rock, just an ice cube.
Yeah.
Nothing else added to it.
I mean, that's kind of the true test of a good mixer. If you can drink it straight and you're, you know, maybe it's not necessarily going to be your favorite sipping experience, uh-huh, but that it's, you're enjoying it.
Oh yeah.
It seems like you've got a good product there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to drink neat. I think, as you mm-hmm, said, it lacks a little bit in flavor if it's just something you're going to sip mm-hmm, neat and you're looking mm-hmm, for like a complex experience. It does have flavor, but I think it's more flavor that's designed to be complementary in a cocktail context. That said, it takes on water really well, even though it's only 45%. And I haven't made this into a daiquiri yet. I'm sure mm-hmm, it would be fantastic. I think that aged backbone just gives it a nice mellowing effect and a little bit of richness to it that is really nice. So I would yeah, buy a bottle of this, and I would recommend it to anyone who does enjoy making cocktails. I think if you're not a cocktail person, if you're just a sip neat person, you probably don't need this. I don't think you would dislike it, but it's just probably not what you're looking for.
Right.
This to me is something that you have around to throw into drinks, to drink over ice on a hot day when you just want to chill and relax, something like that. So I think it excels really well at that.
But it's a problematic category, right? Because when you're talking about something you're using in drinks, we always discuss about like, well, how expensive does it need to be,
mm-hmm,
right? And are you going to really, at the end of the day, be able to enjoy the difference in a drink that uses it? I think the answer is yes for certain ones. Again, as a non-cocktail-oriented person, for daiquiris, for things that aren't super complicated, don't have a lot of stuff that's covering up, but you know, the flavors or adding to the flavors, I think this is going to shine. Whereas if it's in something that's going to get buried in a, you know, I don't know, rum punch or something that mm-hmm, you just, you know, yeah, you've got a little bit of rum flavor in there, but really it's not necessarily the star, then why use it?
Yeah.
So that would be my thought on it. I don't know that I need a bottle for my bar, again, because of the type of drinker that I am, but I would absolutely gladly recommend this to anybody. And it's nice to see, you know, I mean, you pulled out two Velliers in a row here.
La Maison
Velier. Also unexpected. Sorry, La Maison Velier. Unexpected as well, but it's nice to see that as a company, I think they are recognizing, hey, we need a little bit more of broader releases that will help people to start bringing coming in. And then it's like, oh, by the way, look at these special releases as well. And that maybe leads them to those.
That's actually a good note. And I'm just going to put these up on the screen together, what we did in Semi-Blind kind of review number one and number two, both La Maison & Velier products. And as you said, this one, the TCRL High Seas, kind of designed to be the versatile cocktail rum to pull people in. Shikara, the 12-year-old Thailand rum, is really more the sipping experience rum, but at a low 50s dollar price point, it's the kind of thing that someone that's very approachable, someone who's thinking about, you know, getting into rums, they don't have to step all the way up to cask strength. It's 45.7% ABV. So the pair of these together, it's kind of a clear direction. I think they're not an overall direction. They're always going to do the nerdy, you know, high end, high proof stuff, but just like another component of the of the company. So it's really cool, a cool development to me, because I think the rum world needs more rums like these. I think there are a lot of good ones, but I think it's hard to do these like economically. And so anytime I see ones that are good, I'm really impressed. And just good and distinct. And I think both of these are. Shikara maybe a little more distinct than High Seas, but I do think it would be hard to find another rum like exactly like High Seas around the same price point. So I do think it's bringing something unique to the table. So yeah, thumbs up for me on both of these.
Yeah, I would say thumbs up as well.
All right. Well, that wraps up our first two semi-blind kind of rum reviews. We're really eager to hear your thoughts and feedback on this segment. It's something that we're hoping to do more of. So if you enjoyed this, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of the style, the half semi-blind, as we're positioning it. As always, you can send us an email, host@rumcast.com. That's host@rumcast.com. Or you can find us on social media. John, where can they find us?
Yeah, at the Rumcast, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we try to get on there as often as possible and respond to comments, DMs, all of that. So if you're on those platforms and you want to reach out to us, please go ahead and do. Let us know, like Will said, how did this episode strike you? And if you don't want us to do it again, we would understand.
Ooh, it all comes full circle. So yes, and we will also be putting these on YouTube. So if you would like to watch, see the bottle reveals, look at the labels and all that good stuff, see John's face as he's desperately trying to discern
the origin pulling at straws,
of these mystery rums that he was trying. You can go to youtube.com/TheRumCast. If that doesn't work, just search The Rumcast. It'll come up and find us there. But yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback, ideas, thoughts, what you'd like to see us taste, if anything else, or if you think we should just stick to interviews, let us know. I can't promise we'll abide that, but always interested in every type of feedback. So until then, let us know, by the way, if you've had these rums. We'd love to hear your takes on them, what you think, whether we overrated or underrated them. Send us that and we'll try to read some listener responses on future episodes. So until then, John, I know you are about to jet off on vacation, so it'll be a while before I see you again. So safe travels and have a great trip.
Anybody over in Italy, let me know. Hit me up. I'll be over there for a few weeks traveling across the country with the family. So
Send your Italy rum tips to host@rumcast.com so John can check those out. But until next time, cheers, everyone.
Cheers. We should put at the very end, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.